Welcome to The Weekly, a look back at WHQR's top stories of the past 7 days. It's Saturday, November 7th. I'm Caitlin Freund. This week was all about the elections. The United States saw record voter turnout nationally and changes in several offices locally. WHQR's Rachel Lewis-Hilburn filed reports on some of the key races.
North Carolina Senate District 9, which covers most of New Hanover County, saw former Republican incumbent Michael Lee edge out the current Democratic incumbent Harper Peterson. It was a nasty rematch, with both candidates accusing the other of unfair campaign ads. In 2018, Harper Peterson edged out Michael Lee by just 231 votes. 2 years later, unofficial results show Lee ahead by a wider margin, more than 1,400 votes, or slightly more than a point. As Lee looks toward future redistricting based on new census data, he supports finding an independent process that excludes lawmakers.
I think we need to find a way to do it. But the problem is those folks who are interested in deciding how the district should be drawn are typically interested in how the district should be drawn. So I think we continue to look at other states and see how they're being successful.
In neighboring Senate District 8, Republican incumbent Bill Rabin kept his seat by more than 25 points. It's the second time Democrat David Sink challenged the five-term incumbent. Rabin begins his sixth term. North Carolina's 7th Congressional District has re-elected Republican Congressman David Rauser for a fourth term. As a protege of Republican U.S. Senators Jesse Helms and Elizabeth Dole, David Rauser spent years on Capitol Hill before his own career in the North Carolina Senate. In 2014, he won his first term in the U.S. House, and he stayed loyal to the Republican Party line. He says he rarely diverges with President Donald Trump on the issues.
Those that do not support the president largely do not support the president or do not like the president based on personality, style. I say this, personality and style will not ruin the country. Bad policies will.
Rauser's shared views with the president include his skepticism over whether masks actually slow the spread of coronavirus, despite the CDC's definitive statements that masks are protective for the wearer and those nearby. This was the first run at elective office for Democratic challenger Chris Ward, a native of Columbus County. North Carolina's House District 18 will keep its Democratic incumbent. Representative Deb Butler embarks on a third term, and she wins by a nearly 20-point margin. As the only Democratic legislative leader in the Cape Fear region, Deb Butler says she will advocate for a redistricting process that takes the map-drawing power away from politicians and puts it in the hands of an independent commission.
Because what has happened is when legislators draw their districts, they draw them to ensure victory for themselves. And it is a terrible power grab. It is a terrible way to do business because it pushes Democrats to the left so that they win their primary, and it pushes Republicans to the right and makes negotiating more all the more difficult.
Her challenger, Republican Warren Kennedy, is a longtime law enforcement officer who's never held elective office. In House District 17, which covers the largest chunk of Brunswick County, Republican incumbent Frank Eiler beat his two-time Democratic challenger Tom Simmons and begins his sixth term. North Carolina House District 20 is a new district with a new incumbent as Republican Representative Ted Davis Jr. moves from District 19 to 20. Ted Davis has represented House District 19 for 4.5 terms, and he's a current member of the House Select Committee on Community Relations, Law Enforcement, and Justice. He will now represent the new House District 20, and he says he signed a pledge to fund the police.
You got to have law and order. And you touched on that with all these things that are going down, with tearing down monuments, the people breaking into cars, hurting people. I mean, this just cannot happen. We have to have order. We cannot have chaos.
Davis beat Adam Erickson, a new Hanover County public school teacher, by more than 10 points. In House District 19, the district Davis is leaving to move to 20, Republican newcomer Charlie Miller bested Democratic candidate Marsha Morgan by more than 16 points. Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, WHQR News.
The New Hanover County Board of Commissioners race had six candidates on the ballot for three seats. While the jockeying for first, second, and third place went back and forth, three names came out on top. WHQR's Ben Schachtman has the results.
With all precincts reporting, Republican candidates Bill Ravenbark and Deb Hayes, along with Democratic incumbent Jonathan Barfield Jr., are holding the top three spots in the New Hanover County Board of Commissioners race. Ravenbark, who is currently halfway through a term on the Board of Education, cited the need to strengthen ties between that board and the commissioners.
If you've never been on the Board of Education, you don't understand the importance of the relationship between the two, and we're going to have a lot of new people on there.
During his campaign, Barfield harkened back to a nonpartisan era on the board.
We just got the work done, became chair my third year on the board, on the majority Republican board. We never really talked about the partisan aspect of things, as I find that most of the issues that we deal with at this level really aren't Republican or Democrat issues, they're people issues.
Hayes, who has served on Wilmington's Planning Commission, discussed the importance of affordable housing.
Affordable housing has become a buzzword, and it should not. It's serious. It's real. We establish a program whereby we give 10% off in their rent. That may not sound like a lot, but that can make the difference between somebody being able to live there and somebody not being able to live there.
If the race remains close, recounts are possible. Ben Schachtman, WHQR News.
The New Hanover County School Board turned blue on Tuesday. Among the six candidates for New Hanover County School Board, Stephanie Walker, Hugh McManus, and Stephanie Craybell were named the winners. And as WHQR's Rachel Keith reports, this flips the board to Democratic control.
Walker received the highest number of votes, followed by Craybill and McManus. The seven-member board now has a makeup of five Democrats and two Republicans. Walker says her priority is regaining the public's trust after several cases of school staff sexually abusing students.
I really hope going forward that we can hold meetings that are more transparent, that we can keep in touch with the public because they're the ones that elected us, and that we can really focus on keeping our children safe.
Hugh McManus has focused his campaign on two issues. One is ensuring all graduating students are employable, and the other two,
reduce this devastating learning gap in the lower socioeconomic communities. We're going to lose a tremendous amount of kids if we don't.
But there's another twist to this race, as current member Bill Ravenbark won a seat on the county commission. That means the New Hanover County GOP will nominate his replacement, which will then be voted on by the board. Republican board members Lisa Estep, Jeanette Nichols, and David Wortman will step down on December 8th, and the newest members will swear in then. Rachel Keith, WHQR News.
While Election Day has come and gone, there's still plenty left unresolved. In North Carolina, over 100,000 absentee ballots remain outstanding, including thousands in New Hanover County. Over the next week, the final tallies will continue to change as absentee and provisional ballots are evaluated, and the recounts remain a possibility. As the week came to an end, WHQR's Hannah Brasinger and Ben Schachtman discussed the moving parts between Election Day and the final resolution to local races.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, Hannah. How are you?
Good. Election Day has come and gone now, but there's obviously still a lot we don't know. So what is next and what can we expect within the next few days and into next week?
So there's a lot to go. I'm going to try and keep it quick. There's still a lot of ballots left to count, both absentee ballots and provisional ballots. Then there's a canvass, and then there's a good chance for local recounts.
All right. And as of this afternoon, which is Thursday, how many ballots in this state still need to be counted?
So there's two categories. There's outstanding ballots. Those are all the absentee ballots that were requested but not received. And according to the state, there's about 116,000 of those. Now, that number may be a little bit smaller because some people may have requested an absentee ballot and then just gone and voted in person, or they might not have voted at all. But that's the rough number they're looking at. They're also expecting somewhere around 40,000 provisional ballots, and those are for people who showed up on Election Day but had to make some kind of change to their ballot.
Wow. Okay, that's a lot. So as far as locally, how about here in the Cape Fear region? How many more still need to be counted?
So in New Hanover County, we're looking at around 3,200 absentee ballots, and lower numbers for Brunswick County and Pender, about 1,400 for Brunswick and 600 for Pender. And it's worth noting that New Hanover County has sort of a higher proportion of absentee ballots to registered voters, and that may be because we have a higher rate of Democratic registered voters, and there is some theory that Democratic voters are using the absentee ballots more.
Okay, all right. And as far as, you know, there's a lot of close races still now in the state and locally. So could these additional ballots potentially impact any of these races? Are those numbers high enough?
Absolutely. So there's a little bit of tricky math involved in figuring out how close you have to be. If you want to know, it's 1% of the combined votes for two candidates involved in a challenge. That means that's your margin. So in the New Hanover County Board of Commissioners race, Jonathan Barfield Jr., the Democratic candidate who took third of the three seats, is within the margin for his race with Skip Watkins, the Republican candidate who took fourth place. Now, as more votes go in, that margin will actually change, but it looks like it won't change enough, and we probably will see a recount scenario there. Other races are like right on the edge, so it really just depends how many absentee ballots actually come in and how they break Democratic and Republican.
Yeah, and I realize that in order for recounts to happen, the candidates have to request them themselves. They're not just automatic. So is there any indication that any candidates, state or locally, are looking for a recount right now?
I think so, yeah. And the timeline for that is we will see what's called a canvass next Friday, this November 13th, at around 11 a.m. the meeting will start. That's the final counting of all the county race ballots. And after that, we'll get some final totals that will include provisional ballots, absentee ballots, election day, the whole kit and caboodle. And after that, there's a ticking clock to request a recount. Local candidates, county-level candidates, have until 5 p.m. on the following Monday. So that would be Monday, November 16th. For statewide races, they have a little bit longer. They have until Tuesday, November 17th at noon. But that's the timeline. So next week, we'll see the canvass. The following week, we'll see recount requests, if there are any.
All right. So still a long road ahead, it seems like.
Yeah, there's still a lot of work for the Board of Elections to do.
All right. WHQR's managing editor Ben Shockman talking with me about where things stand right now in regards to the 2020 election. And you can find more information on what we've discussed at WHQR.org. And thanks so much, Ben.
Happy to be here.
As the week ended, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn took a look at the disturbing rise in COVID-19 cases in North Carolina. For now, state health officials say thanks to early precautions, the state is not seeing a huge spike, nor are hospitals overloaded. Even so, state health officials are worried about the upcoming holidays. Here's that story.
North Carolina has seen 4 days since October 29th, on which new COVID-19 cases surpassed 2,800. The percentage of tests that are positive, around 7%, is also too high. Governor Roy Cooper, who won re-election by about 4.5 points, says he's still focused on Medicaid expansion as he looks forward to ending the politicization of a pandemic. It's positive, he says, that the federal government is working hard towards a vaccine.
But I do believe we could have had a more effective federal strategy. We do often meet together as governors, and I'm hoping that in the coming days, particularly if the fall and winter gets bad, that we can have more cooperative and coordinated effort, both from the federal level and among states.
As the weather gets colder and people move indoors, state officials ask you skip holiday gatherings outside the household. But for those who insist on hosting or attending a Thanksgiving event, Dr. Mandy Cohen, North Carolina's Secretary of Health and Human Services, encourages people to do it safely.
We still have gathering limits in place. Smaller is better, and outdoors is better than indoors. If you have tables, have each group of people who live together at their own table, and then keep tables at least 6 feet apart from one another.
It's especially important, says Cohen, since people will have to remove their masks to eat and drink, and yes, wear them. Cohen also suggests a COVID screening test before any gathering, even if you have no symptoms. Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, WHQR News.
On Coastline this week, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn interviewed David Zucchino, a contributing writer for the New York Times and Pulitzer Prize winner, about his book Wilmington's Lie, The Murderous Coup of 1898 and the Rise of White Supremacy. You can listen to that complete interview at WHQR.org. And on next week's Coastline, Ben Shockman and Scott Nunn join Rachel Lewis-Hilburn in a reporter roundtable on the results of the 2020 elections. That's next Wednesday at noon. On this week's episode of Around Town with Rhonda Bellamy, Rhonda spoke with Dan Brawley of the Cucullorus Festival, now in its 26th season. You can hear that full interview at whqr.org. And that's what's happening in the Cape Fear region. As always, you can listen to our continued news coverage at 91.3 FM. Visit our website or stream us online anytime at whqr.org. For WHQR News, I'm Caitlin Freund, and this is The Weekly.